have a nice hand for our pipers. Welcome to the 2010 class of graduation for engineers. The Scottish Pipers have shown us how it's done, and you may remember Jackie Stewart, who used to say, "It's a great day for a motor car race," and he also might have said, "It's a great day for a graduation. We got Scottish weather." The platform party will be down in just about 2 minutes, so we'll start right at that time. What I would ask of you is to please quench your cell phones, if you don't mind. There's enough buzz as it is, and this will not assist anyone in the program today. My name is David Harp. I'm the University Marshal, and it's my job to orient you a little bit to what is going to go on. The platform party will enter, take the stage, and then Winston Purdy will sing the alma mater. And I will have already asked you to stand up in honor of the platform party. Also, I just would like to have you give a hand to our excellent brass quintet, Brian Sand and his group over here to your left. I would add that at the end of the ceremony, there will be refreshments delivered by the Alumni Association. It'll be up in Leacock, which is just to your left and straight ahead. And the platform party is actually going into the rain. I guess they had a lot of umbrellas up there for people. And you can hear the piper, that particular piper, another Scottish piper, Kirk Johnstone. The last people in the tent will be the principal, the chair of the board, Kip Cobbett, and the principal, Heather Monroe Bloom. The chancellor will direct you to have you sit back down after the alma mater, and the ceremony will begin. There will be a teaching award, there will be an honorary degree given, and those speeches will take place probably in about the first 35 minutes. This is going to be a long ceremony because there are a lot of engineers here, and that will take some time to cross the stage. But former Dean John Dealey will be reading the names. He does a very, very good job. So I hear the piper, they're going even slower than normal. I'm not sure why that is. In fact, youth collective engineers didn't run in the rain. I guess no one had told you it was raining. I'm not sure how that worked. Anyway, I could ask you to please stand up. Levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
Thank you, Professor Purdy. Good morning. Bonjour à tous. McGill vous souhaite les bienvenus à notre beau campus en plein ville pour la cérémonie remise des diplômes de la faculté de génie. On behalf of McGill University, I would like to welcome you to our beautiful downtown campus for the convocation ceremony of students graduating from the Faculty of Engineering. Now, it is customary for the Chancellor to open these proceedings with a statement congratulating graduates for having completed their studies, or at least this phase of studies, and also to extend to members of their proud families our sincerest best wishes. For you have chosen to study at one of the world's best institutions of higher learning and have succeeded in reaching your goal and in earning your degree. Now, this custom has continued for almost 200 years, and far be it from me to interrupt this time-honored tradition, having been so recently appointed as Chancellor. However, I am not at all comfortable at this juncture in moving directly to the awarding of degrees. I strongly believe in another message, which I wish to convey to all of you sitting before me. Many, if not most of you, believe that getting a decent job or going on to obtain another degree, finding a suitable partner, and having children are, if achieved, the most important of life's goals. And I can speak from personal experience that each of these achievements brings immense satisfaction, and I can even add to that the joy of having grandchildren. Nevertheless, when I sat where you are, exactly where you are, 56 years ago, nobody mentioned our health. Yet your health may turn out to be the one most important area to bring satisfaction, and good health is likely the goal you can most control. I want to repeat that. Of all your life's goals, your health outcome is the one you can most easily control. More important than the benefits of even the best education, controlling your health is much easier than ensuring a satisfactory working environment, and certainly easier than finding a suitable life partner. We all know that great strides have been made in medicine, particularly in cardiovascular disease and in controlling infections through antibiotics. Life expectancy has increased by a full generation over the past century. Yet far too many people are not fully enjoying these benefits due to chronic diseases which are mostly preventable. And in spite of all the modern improvements, and possibly because of them, the cost of healthcare delivery is escalating and has already reached alarming levels. These expenses are increasing at such a rate that most countries, including Canada, will run perpetual deficits with no relief in sight. This will impact on each of you, either by taking away significant disposable income or by creating a lack of accessibility as governments cut back, or both. And for the great majority of you, there is a simple solution, and that is prevention through self-discipline. And it starts right now. You're all familiar with these solutions. Give up smoking, avoid social drugs and excessive drinking, exercise regularly, and I mean daily, and understand what you eat and the implications of a proper diet. There is not a single scientific study, and there have been many thousands, that has come to a contrary conclusion. So it starts today, and I repeat that, it must begin today. Your quality of life will improve and keep improving for the great majority of you. Whatever setbacks you encounter, and we all suffer some, you will be able to better tolerate these, both physically and mentally. And in closing, may I say to those parents and grandparents celebrating these events, it is truly never too late to start. In a recent study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, the authors concluded that, and I quote, "the lack of activity is one of the strongest predictors of unsuccessful aging for older adults, including the early onset of cognitive impairment." Let me repeat this. The lack of activity is one of the strongest predictors of unsuccessful aging. So for all of you here today, this has to be a lifelong endeavor. Bottom line, taking care of your health is an obligation you have to your fellow citizens and your families. Taking care of your health is even more an obligation you have to yourself. I would now like to call upon our distinguished Professor Heather Monroe Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor, to address the audience.
Thank you for those important words, Chancellor. Chancellor, Chairman, Principal Emeritus, Governors, our distinguished honorees this morning, our honorary degree recipient, Dr. Charles Vest, Teaching Award winners, Professor Andrew Boyd and Professor Mohammed Magweed, Provost Massey, Dean Pierre, distinguished colleagues, friends, and most important, graduating class of 2010, bonjour et bienvenue tout le monde. As Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University, it is my great pleasure to welcome you here on the front lawn of our beautiful, if wet, downtown campus. I know that some of you yourselves graduated on these very lawns. And for those of you who are wondering what it means that it's raining on your special day, in many cultures, a rainy day is a sign of good luck, and as someone who married on a very, very wet day some decades ago and is still happily married and to the same person, I would attest to it being a good thing. Graduating class, today is a very special day for you and a proud and happy day for McGill and for your family and friends who are gathered here with you. For all of you who are graduating here today, we know you have worked very hard, without question. But as tough as it may be from time to time to be a McGill student, it is sometimes even tougher to be the family member or closest friend of a McGill student. And so I ask the graduating class of 2010 to join with me in expressing your appreciation to your family and closest friends who supported you in getting to this day. Many of you will be thinking about life, where life will take you next and the choices you will make. Nous vivons dans un monde où certains membres de votre famille, certains amis et collègues habiteront des pays lointains, un monde où, même ici au Québec et au Canada, il est fort probable que votre réussite dépend de collaboration avec des gens dont l'origine et l'expérience diffère largement des vôtres. As you step out into an increasingly global world, remember that wherever you choose to live and work, we are now all called upon to realize a more sustainable relationship with our physical environment and to do so while dealing with uncertainty, certainly uncertainty in the economy. At the same time, we face an imperative to rethink the way we interact with financial and social systems, and while doing so, to reduce the gaps between those who have and those who do not. These challenges can be daunting indeed. As you and all of us rise to meet the challenges of our world, we're all dependent on knowledge, on the values and practices we have learned and continue to reflect on, and most significantly, on dedicated and creative individuals, leaders, professionals, and citizens, people just like you, graduating class. As developing leaders, you embrace technological and scientific literacy, linguistic fluency, and an understanding of the cultures and religions of the world. You are cultivating an open mind, a willingness to reassess your values and practices as you gain experience, and perhaps most importantly, you're developing your appetite for complexity, and this is a good thing, for the world is certainly increasingly complex. Graduating class, we are confident that in your time at McGill, you have been exposed to the richness of the world you enter today. At McGill, you will have sought and gained knowledge and experience and learned from the best and the brightest students and professors. You have experienced an environment where the pursuit of knowledge is the ultimate goal, where the exchange of ideas, and particularly controversial and provocative ideas, is encouraged, where we respect fundamentally our academic freedoms and freedom of speech. And along with our great good fortune of living and studying in a peaceful and prosperous society comes a special responsibility to take on the social, environmental, and financial challenges of our time. And in celebrating you today, class of 2010, we're celebrating also the Faculty of Engineering, which contributes in its way to these very goals. McGill's Faculty of Engineering began its distinguished history in 1859 and has never ceased to innovate. In a year in which McGill grads have won two Nobel Prizes, we mark the beginning of Dean Christophe Pierre's second mandate. We celebrate his achievements, his energetic and rightly ambitious leadership, and the excellence he and his superb team of colleagues are building into every dimension of faculty life. These efforts have recently been recognized in the top score awarded to McGill Engineering in two key competitions for Canadian research through the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council. Increasing success in attracting research funding is one factor that has enabled our Faculty of Engineering to more than double the number of outstanding new doctoral students enrolled over the past 5 years. Two exciting new interdisciplinary institutes have been developed at the Faculty of Engineering. One, the Institute for Aerospace Engineering, which will provide access to internships in this field for our students, and the Institute for Sustainability in Engineering and Design, which will provide a faculty structure through which sustainability can inform all aspects of the undergraduate curriculum. Class of 2010, we are very proud that you are now joining the 210,000 distinguished people around the world who make up McGill's Living Alumni, a roster that includes our Chancellor, our Chairman, and now in a few moments, Dr. Charles Best. And graduating class, as you leave here later today, please undertake to stay in touch with your alma mater. You can be sure that we will stay in touch with you. I'll say that again. You can be sure that we will stay in touch with you. Remember that you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go, and as you do, three pieces of simple but profound advice from an ancient scholar. Take care of yourself, as our Chancellor said. If you are not for yourself, who will be? Strive to make the world a better place. If you are only for yourself, you will have failed. Don't be afraid to act, to give something back to your community, your profession, your country, and your world. But for now, today is your very special day. Savor every moment of it. It'll pass quickly. Félicitations.
Merci, Madame la Principale. On behalf of McGill, notwithstanding all of the engineering advances, we go to the moon and all things like that, some of you may be getting some dripping on you from the rain. As I say, we're not quite yet at a stage where engineering has been gone far enough to stop these types of things, but we do apologize. And you'll notice we have some right up in front here. I now ask Professor Christophe Pierre, Dean of the Faculty of Engineering, to introduce Professor Andrew J. Boyd, Department of Civil Engineering and Applied Mechanics, this year's winner of the Engineering Class of 1944 Award for outstanding teaching.
Madam Vice Chancellor, the Faculty of Engineering places great importance on the quality of the teaching that we provide to students, and each year we recognize teaching excellence through two awards that are given to distinguished faculty members. It is our students who recommend our nominees. The enthusiasm that they exhibit in doing so, as well as the insightfulness of their comments, says a great deal about the qualifications and expertise of the winning teachers. Dr. Andrew J. Boyd is this year's winner of the Engineering Class of 44 Award for Outstanding Teaching. He is exactly the type of teacher university needs, one student wrote of Professor Boyd. His knowledge of the subject matter is vast, his enthusiasm is contagious, and he's able to hold his students in rapt attention by providing interesting insights, observations, and anecdotes. Perhaps the ultimate accolade came from another student. "I now love concrete," she said. "What else is there to add?" What else indeed? Besides being passionate about materials, Dr. Boyd is described as being down-to-earth, easygoing, and approachable. Both in his lectures and his remarkably well-organized class notes, he focuses on key points and doesn't dwell on extraneous information, expecting his students to have done their homework and come to class prepared with the basic knowledge relevant to the level of study. Professor Boyd is also admired for being a true engineer, somebody who researches every piece of data before making a decision or stating an opinion. Like almost all teaching award winners, he is praised for answering every question put to him. What sets Dr. Boyd apart, though, is an uncanny ability to answer in a way that ensures that everyone benefits from the response. Madam Vice Chancellor, I'm pleased to present Dr. Andrew J. Boyd of the Department of Civil Engineering and Applied Mechanics, so that you may present him with the Engineering Class of 44 Award for Outstanding Teaching. Congratulations.
You left it there. I'm sorry. I now ask Dean Christophe Pierre again, Dean of the Faculty, to return to the podium to introduce Professor Mohamed A. Magid, Department of Civil Engineering and Applied Mechanics, this year's winner of the Samuel and Ida Frommsen Award for Outstanding Teaching.
Dr. Mohamed A. Magid is this year's recipient of the Samuel and Ida Frommsen Award for Outstanding Teaching. Professor Magid is not one who believes that teaching is simply a process of transferring knowledge. Rather, it is a partnership between student and professor based on a shared desire to master the subject matter as a stepping stone to future growth and success. In meeting that objective, he has proven himself to be remarkably effective in making difficult material easy to understand. Students say that he teaches at a pace that ensures that everyone has a solid grasp of the coursework before he moves on, and he's always willing to help those students who need a little extra time and attention. He wants these future engineers to be experts in their field, they say, so he explains concepts in a simple and effective manner that gives students an appreciation of engineering, and he provides practical applications to prepare them for work after graduation. They add that he is always attentive to issues or concerns that may hinder their progress. Professor Magid teaches at a level that is comfortable for students. He is upbeat, he is genuinely happy doing what he does, he is respectful of students, they say, and makes studying enjoyable. Madam Vice Chancellor, I'm pleased to present Dr. Mohamed Magid of the Department of Civil Engineering and Applied Mechanics, so you may present him with the Samuel and Ida Frommsen Award for Outstanding Teaching. Congratulations.
I now ask Professor Martin Crisworth, Dean of Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, to introduce Professor Sylvain Coulombe from the Department of Chemical Engineering, this year's winner of the Carrie M. Derrick Award for Graduate Teaching and Supervision.
Professor Sylvain Coulombe became an assistant professor in McGill's Chemical Engineering Department in 2001 and quickly established himself as an engaging researcher who attracted many graduate students. They sought him out because he was able to transmit his excitement of discovery along with high academic standards. His students appreciate his ability to retain common sense and intuition while exploring abstract scientific ideas. In this way, he successfully encourages them to think deeply and creatively. He has already been a supervisor to many students, stimulating them to participate in the larger scientific community and training them to become independent researchers. As a small token of appreciation for all he has done for this institution, McGill presents the Carrie M. Derrick Award for Graduate in Teaching and Supervision to Professor Coulombe and look forward to many more years of his inspiring and empathetic supervision of our graduate students.
I now ask Professor Heather Monroe Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor, to present Dr. Charles M. Vest, that he may have conferred upon him the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Charles Marciller Vest. It is our great privilege today to honor Dr. Charles Vest, internationally renowned educational leader and advisor and powerful advocate for the advancement of science, technology, research, and education. Currently president of the Distinguished American National Academy of Engineering and president emeritus of the great Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Dr. Vest is a veritable world authority on engineering and science, education, and research. He has achieved national and international recognition for his groundbreaking insights on the crucial issues facing higher education and research. Raised in Morgantown, West Virginia, Dr. Vest earned a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from West Virginia University, going on to master's and PhD degrees in mechanical engineering from the University of Michigan. Dr. Vest concluded a 27-year career at the University of Michigan by serving as Dean of Engineering and then as Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs. He assumed the presidency of MIT in 1990, and during a stellar 14-year term as president, he not only built further the astonishing scientific and technological impact of this world-renowned institution, he was also a passionate advocate for the enhancement of undergraduate education, for racial, cultural, and gender diversity in the university, and for building a stronger international dimension into MIT's education and research programs. As he noted in his prescient inaugural address to MIT, education can move a nation. The future belongs to those who understand this. During his presidency at MIT, Dr. Vest was instrumental in building innovative partnerships amongst academia, government, and industry, in promoting the sharing of intellectual resources, and in strengthening national policy on science, engineering, and education, a passion he has now taken to the world stage. Indeed, both at MIT and throughout his career, Dr. Vest has also championed the need to increase societal scientific and technological literacy, to bring broader public awareness to the value of research and development, and to cultivate broadly openness, accessibility, and innovation in all levels of education. Dr. Vest has published numerous academic papers as well as 3 books. His commitment to the broader community has been expressed in his work as a respected national and international advisor on science, engineering, and education. He is past or present member of numerous influential government task forces and advisory committees, including the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology and the U.S. Secretary of Education's Commission on the Future of Higher Education. He is past chair of the Association of American Universities and served as vice chair of the Council on Competitiveness. Dr. Vest served as a longtime director of DuPont and IBM and is a life member of the MIT Corporation. He serves on the board of a number of not-for-profit organizations devoted to education, science, and technology. Chuck Vest's stunning contributions as an educational leader, innovator, and advocate have been recognized by a multitude of honors and awards. Recipient of more than 10 honorary doctorates, he was awarded the United States National Medal of Technology in 2006, the nation's highest honor for technological achievement. The Philip Haug Abelson Award of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and this past April he received the National Engineering Award of the American Association of Engineering Societies for his lifetime of achievement to the enhancement of engineering education and the engineering profession. Today, along with his wonderful wife, Becky, we are delighted to welcome to the McGill community this outstanding leader and visionary thinker, an engineer statesman throughout his extraordinary career, has exuded curiosity and imagination, a great generosity of spirit and commitment to social justice, deep integrity, and quiet, effective determination. It is with great McGill pride and deep personal pleasure that I now call upon our chancellor to confer upon Dr. Charles Vest the university's highest honor, the degree of Doctor of Science, honoris causa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to invite Dr. Charles Vest to deliver the convocation address. Dr. Vest.
Chancellor Steinberg, Principal and Vice Chancellor Monroe Bloom, Vice Chancellor Emeritus Shapiro, Dean Pierre, I am humbled and grateful to receive this honorary degree from McGill University. I accept it as a wonderful recognition of the long-standing partnership and common cause among Canadian and U.S. universities. Recipients of the various degrees of the Faculty of Engineering, families, relatives, and loved ones of the graduates, it's a greater privilege still to speak to you on this celebratory day. Before I begin, I must tell you that I have listened to more commencement speeches than you can imagine. I've also invited more commencement speakers to campuses than you can imagine. And from this, I learned that students usually feel they were shortchanged. For example, 2 years ago, I had the privilege of giving the commencement address back at MIT. The previous day, Bill Clinton had been the speaker just a mile away at Harvard. So I opined that the students were probably saying things like, gosh, Harvard got Bill and all we got was Chuck. So if you're harboring similar feelings today, it's okay. Because as an engineering educator, I'm here to speak to you, not to the world. I'm going to speak to you about a couple of big things, namely opportunity and service. Here's something I've learned about opportunity. You never know when or how opportunity will materialize. Don't try to plan it. Don't try to predict it. you'll probably be wrong. How do I know these things about opportunity? Well, I know it because I received precisely two letters from MIT during one 22-year period. I received the first letter from MIT in 1968. It thanked me for my inquiry, but informed me that MIT definitely was not interested in my application to become an assistant professor. So at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, I happily taught, did research, wrote a book, painted our house, helped Becky raise our children, and above all else, avoided committee assignments. But 22 years later, in 1990, a second letter came from MIT. This one asked me to serve as its president. So here's the lesson. Always read your mail from McGill. There's an outside chance that instead of asking you to donate money, it may ask you to become vice chancellor or perhaps commencement speaker. Now, being a university president brought me experiences that I could barely have dreamed of. Because of the opportunities created by education and by the place of great research universities on the world stage, I came to meet, know, or work with the kings, queens, presidents, premiers, or prime ministers of many nations, with the first human being to set foot on the moon, with great artists and musicians and leaders of huge corporations, and with remarkable entrepreneurs. So what happens when you're with the powerful and famous? Consider this. In 1994, I found myself in the East Room of the White House when all living Apollo astronauts celebrated the 25th anniversary of the first moon landing. As I was leaving that event, both the late, great Carl Sagan and the President of the United States sought me out to shake my hand and thank me personally for a very small role I had recently played in our space program. So as you can imagine, with swelled head and adrenaline rush, I sort of floated out of the White House to catch a taxi cab. Then I heard somebody on the street call my name. I turned around to find a former MIT graduate student who proceeded to berate me with a 5-minute litany of pent-up complaints about some aspects of her experience at MIT. She was sure that I had been personally responsible for all of them. There's nothing like that to keep your head out of the clouds and your feet on the ground. But my real point here is that education opened amazing doors of opportunity to me, opportunity to learn, opportunity to teach, and opportunity to serve a greater good. Indeed, the opportunity to serve is what I have valued above all else. I had the education to serve, the opportunity to serve as a voice for engineering, science, and higher education, and for the importance of my nation being open to scholars from all over the world at a time when the United States sorely needed to think about these things. And the people I have valued most knowing and working with are not the leaders of nations or corporate titans. They are my faculty colleagues, the intellectual leaders, the teachers and scholars who give you and me the opportunity literally to change the world. The opportunities for which they have prepared you will be as breathtaking as they are formidable. And most of them are beyond today's imagination. One reason is that the challenges and opportunities before you are mostly global in scale and very complex. Another reason is the continuous acceleration of technological progress. The future rushes at us more quickly every year. But along with this acceleration and exploding information, you also have entirely new tools at your disposal. Many of these new tools come from information technology or will come from 21st century life science. Your generation is already leading us into a new domain of global interaction. I'm convinced that your way of communicating and working Wikipedia, Second Life, YouTube, social networking and computing, massive multiplayer, web games, open innovation, reflect a truly fundamental transformation. And you can guide this transformation. You can use it to make money. You can revel in it by catching politicians and movie stars making stupid mistakes. Or you can apply it to bring what James Surowiecki calls the wisdom of crowds by working together to solve important problems and to build a more inclusive, engaged, and egalitarian society. It's your choice. That's about information. What about life science? We are barreling along three great frontiers of 21st century life science and biotechnology. Frontiers that present extraordinary challenges and opportunities. The first challenge is to realize the promise of genomic medicine, to put a powerful base of rational science beneath the practice of human medicine, and to tailor medical treatments to each individual patient. The second challenge is to dramatically advance our understanding of the human brain and mind, of memory, learning, and communications, and to attack the mental and emotional illnesses that today wreak havoc on so many lives. The third is to revolutionize much of engineering, using the stuff of life as our templates. And by using biological mechanisms to design and grow new materials and to create new production techniques that mimic the efficiency of nature, thereby reducing the environmental footprints left by our industries. Just this month, Craig Venter announced that he and his colleagues had essentially assembled what he called a synthetic cell, calling it the first self-replicating species we've had on the planet whose parent is a computer. Now, there's some debate about this characterization, but the fact remains that it is a major step toward creation of new life forms. But there is more. Already, I hear the term biohacking being bandied about. Biohacking, just think about the implications of that term. It, of course, heralds the advent of synthetic biology, the fusion of engineering and biology to design and build novel biological functions and systems from sets of biological building blocks. Well, these new capabilities of information science, life science, engineering, and their combinations be used for good or for ill? How will you grapple with the ethical and legal questions that will come along with these new powers? How will you influence the public discourse and action on these questions? These are enormous challenges, in large part because technological advancement usually outpaces social advancement. For example, the design of the Internet that forms the basis of so much opportunity in the world today was predicated on mutual trust. Trust that you are who you say you are, and trust that you are doing what you say you are doing. But today, unfortunately, we have viruses, worms, and phishing. That's phishing. You'll have to explain it to your parents. These human-developed technological evils can be very serious. Indeed, the militaries of most nations have already heavily vested in issues of cybersecurity and cyber warfare. Because of this, colleagues tell me that the Internet must now be redesigned with security rather than trust at its core. I find this sad and disconcerting, but it is a reality with which we will live. We are all aware of the debates around genetic counseling, stem cells, and genetic modification of crops and food. And we are aware of the debates about using food to power our automobiles in the form of corn-based ethanol. Such redesigns and debates are a necessary part of life in a free society. But you must be prepared to engage in the public dialogue and to bring to it your own moral compasses and your commitment to applying the rationality of science and engineering to improving the human condition. In doing so, you must be humble and heed the thoughts expressed last week by New York Times columnist David Brooks when writing about the horrific mess that we have created in the Gulf of Mexico. Brooks wrote that, quote, the real issue has to do with risk assessment. It has to do with the bloody crossroads where complex technical systems meet human psychology. This isn't about oil. It's a challenge for people living in an imponderably complex technical society, end quote. But let me turn the clock back 50 years. Each of us has a few memories of seemingly random moments in our past that from time to time spring into our minds with full clarity of sight, sound, and feeling. One such memory for me is of walking to high school on a sunny morning in probably 1957. I lived only two houses from the high school, so if I left home when the first bell rang, I could make it into my seat before the second bell. Be that as it may, I just happen to remember on that day a feeling of absolute joy, well-being, good fortune, and optimism. The air was warm and clear. The American flag was fluttering in front of the school. The sky was blue, and the sky was the limit. Life was good. The fact is that joy, well-being, good fortune, and optimism were the right things for me to feel. Life indeed was good, at least if you were a boy growing up in the middle class in a North American college town in the 1950s. Much water, of course, has flowed over the proverbial dam in the years since then, but you know what? My optimism was well-founded. Now, you may say, yes, but when you were young, your world was much simpler and more certain and more insular than ours. Today, we face global challenges. We have to improve the world's health, economy, security, and quality of life. We have to provide water and food to the burgeoning population of the earth. We have to give people clean air to breathe and clear blue skies to make their spirits soar. We have to provide the energy they will need to lessen their burdens, integrate them into the world community, and give them economic opportunity. We have to cure their ills and safeguard their well-being. We have a much harder road than you did. Why should we be optimistic? In some ways, you are right. But let me leave you with another perspective. When I was young, I sat in our comfortable home in front of a small black and white television and watched an interview with Dr. Tom Dooley, an American medical doctor serving people in Asia in the midst of unfathomable poverty and dire living conditions. Dr. Dooley held up in front of the camera a tiny, ill, starving child with distended belly. Now, I have to explain that in the 1950s, such sights were never seen on television or in newspapers or in magazines. It was simply shocking, and I recoiled emotionally. But then he calmly said, in essence, when you look at this child, you see something horrifying. But I look at this child and know that I have the knowledge and skill to make him well. I believe this simple statement is a metaphor for what the graduates of this great engineering school can and must do: make the world well. Yes, you grasp the complexity of the world and you understand the enormity of its challenges, but you also have new tools to resolve them. In the end, I believe that knowledge and skill trump ignorance, and optimism trumps pessimism. If you believe this, and if you embrace the opportunity to serve, you will find personal happiness and fulfillment beyond expectation, and you will benefit our world beyond measure. Good luck and Godspeed.
The head of every great university, particularly one that has a scientific bent, has a real challenge because there's pressure, particularly from the faculty, since there are always budgetary restraints, of insisting that the major funding goes towards scientific research, that what makes the university great is the scientists at that university. On the other hand, there's also great pressure that there's a need to teach undergraduates not only science but other subjects as well. Not everybody becomes a scientist. MIT has graduated some of the leading business leaders, government leaders, not only in the United States but also abroad. And from what I can see and from what I understand of Dr. Vest's great accomplishment is the balance between these two pressures. They have and continue to graduate some of the finest undergraduate students, as well, obviously, as some of the greatest scientists this world has seen. So I want to say to Dr. Vest, you have done us great honor in coming here today and allowing us to confer upon you this honorary doctorate. We look forward to other visits down the road. Thank you so much. We will now proceed with the conferring of the academic degrees, and I call upon the Provost, Professor Anthony Massey, to commence the formal proceedings. Professor Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. I am pleased to invite the students graduating from programs in the Faculty of Engineering to come forward for the conferral of their degrees. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the Chancellor, the Principal, or the Chair of the Board of Governors. Students receiving their first university degree shall remove their mortarboard or hat and then be symbolically capped on the top of the head, signaling ceremonially the conferral of their degree. Students who have already earned a degree will keep their mortarboard on and will be congratulated by a tap on the shoulder. In most cases, capping and tapping is done lightly. But the university cannot guarantee the actual force that will be used by my colleagues in executing these maneuvers. The parchment or degree itself is given to each student by a dean or delegate as they leave the stage. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de l'Université McGill, je déclare que la candidate dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'université, qu'il soit présent ou absent, en satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill's Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor Emeritus and former Dean of the Faculty of Engineering, John Dealey, to present the graduates. Professor Martin Crisworth, Dean of Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, will distribute the diplomas to graduate students, followed by Professor Christophe Pierre, Dean of the Faculty of Engineering, who will distribute diplomas to all other students. Congratulations. Félicitations.
Mr. Chancellor, ladies and gentlemen, I need to ask your forbearance this morning. The very last two students to carry out their doctoral research under my supervision will receive their diplomas this morning, and I hope you will permit me to delay these proceedings for a few seconds in each case so that I may offer them my personal congratulations. For the degree Doctor of Philosophy, Nasser Mohaidin Aboukir. Yan Chang.
Wan Jie Chang. Majid Reza Irfani. Yongtran Fan. Rana Furutan. Mahmoud Esam Halak. Sunil Kumar Ram Rao Kupalkar. Hong Lee. Siwan Lee. Rui Ma. Samir Hemant Mushrif. Frederick Nabki. Chul Nam. Yu Bang. Stefan Pertier. Emily Sauchi Boon. Paula Mercedes Proa Flores. Leonie Rulo. Lei Wei Tan. Chen Shuang Jiang. Dominique Tremblay. Gang Wang. Xin Yun Yao. Xiao Hong Zhang. Xin Zhang. Abdul Abdulushi. Yasman Araste. Ian Richard Morris Barnett. Laurie Belanger. Sharon Birnbaum. Ellen Rose Laura Blywas. Evelyn Bouchard. Sophie Brunet. These candidates are for the Master of Architecture degree, Mr. Chancellor. Valerie Buzaglo. Marc Antoine Chartier Primo. Marco Chunghai Chow. Andrew Gujun Chung. Andrea Lynn Chenoweth. Omar Ahmed Farid. Maria Alejandra Garcia. Tarana Kalegi. Dorothy Lynn Krolik Stern. Gabrielle Lantier. Jeffrey Kinhing Ma. Amélie Marcelet Ricard. Ida Trakiani Melika. Benjamin Lawrence Mitchell. Myrna Monla. Natalie Nazvi Morkos. Cynthia Jen Chu Nai. Golnar Naruzi. Jonathan Micah Robertson. Anna Rocky. Renye David Silva. Stephanie Helen Tromley. Magda Mojisola A. Akdiri. Hussein Riyad El Muscati. For the degree Master of Engineering, Francisco Rosendo Albor Consuegra. Rodrigo Araya Ledesma. Karen Sandra Bailey. Nisreen Bal. Patrick Lee Bachelor. Navdeep Singh Bhutar. Jin Chen. Muhammad El Jaili. Bassem Frem. Elisa Anna Gaetano. Tamim Haroon. David Hewitt. Suning Jiang. Jin Jin. Syed Takshed Karim. Vladislav Lapo, Dean's Honor List. Brian James Lawrence, Dean's Honor Roll. Cecilia Lee. Ho Wing Lung. Wai Hao Yang. Patrick Matar. Malika Najani. Dominique Mercier. Danielle Neche, Dean's Honor List. Saidipak Nelaturi Dwarakanad. Muhammad Shehzad Nilamdin.
Era Mosele Osareme Okiria. Bulang Bang. Prashant Bejiriju. Pavel B. Benjamin Andrew Priest. Maria Nikolaevna Putilova. Mufid Adisa Raji. Sean David Salisbury. Nathan Alexander Smith. Bijan Soleimani. Bradford Keith Stimson. Tony Tabassum. Marie-Elise Isabel Vijay. Andrew Jen Wong. Jing Wu. Xian Zhu. Kamel Zaruri, Dean's Honor List. Yu Zhu. Madam Vice Chancellor for the degree Master of Urban Planning, Alexandra Delormier. Mark Descoteau. Danielle Opp. Jacob Larson, David Farley Book Prize in Urban Planning. Julien Suprenant Legault. Catherine Thibault. Chenming Zhao. Madam Vice Chancellor for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Chemical Engineering, Boran Abdelgawat. Sarah Abdulali. Mohammed Abugris. Hannah Al-Kaid. Sarah Al-Rubay. Stefan Angelique. Michelle L. Babrin, Dean's Honor List. Edward Paul Barbari. Nicholas Gouras. Alejandra Francesca Burchard Levine. Anthony Stefan Carbone. Brenda Castro Zambrano. Sai Lung Chung. Valerie Andrea Liana Consolante, Distinction. Alina Ann D'Alessandro. Douglas Whitmore Duffy, Distinction. Amir L. Dasuki. Anthony Estigoy. Mazen Hazem Taji Farouk. Catherine Margaret Finnegan. Jean-Marc Gabradibian. Christopher Mark Gentile. Jennifer Gill. Joseph Habachi. Sonia Christina Anna Helen. Ian Andrew Hamilton, Dean's Honor List. Haytham Tarek Hosni. Paul Jonak. Alexander Paul Kirley. Rushd Kalef. Nicholas McKenzie. Julian Alexandra Marchand. Jad Albert Masri. Distinction. Laura May Mary. Ryan William Moran. Akash Ronak Mukherjee. Jose David Oro Fong, Distinction. Ricardo Joseph Piscola. Leah Dieter Pokaruse, British Association Medal, McGill École Polytechnique Memorial Prize, Society of Chemical Industry Merit Award, Dean's Honor List. Benjamin Ross. Nicholas Kirti Schultes. Evan Yale Singer. Danitha Sivakumar. Jesse Patrick Skirschken. Joanna Lee Silliman. Kai Kin Tang. Charles Philip James Forbes Truchon Feller. David Chester Upham. Marie Van Leeuwen. Maria Elena Helena Kovian. Gary Wilk. Dandra Germaine Wilson. Nan Chu. Stefan Yasmin. Madam Vice Chancellor for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Civil Engineering, Lori Abitol. Mohammed Adnan Al Mubarak. Ahmed Isan Ali. Alia Alibayi. Mohammed Omar Amin. Danielle Argentaru. Francesca Asfar, Distinction. Fabian Nicholas Babino. Adam Badran. Omar Jamal Badran. Omar Ahmed Bala. Jonathan Colin Barkan, Distinction. Naomi Bluan. Amanda Christina Bonhomme. Kimberly Jennifer Borst. David Jonathan Bauer. Robert Michael Bradford. Philip Jocelyn Brisebois. Aidan Joseph Brownlee. Anthony Caruso Giuliano, Robert Forsyth Prize in Civil Engineering, Dean's Honor List. Sabrina Chan, Distinction. Michael Chan Kam Long, Distinction. Yi Chao Chen, Dean's Honor List. Martin David Rosner Krook. Jonathan Dallaire. Ryan DeBarros. Athena Sofia Delimanos. John Michael Villillo. Nicholas DiTomaso. Arthur Domagian. Eduardo Miguel Dominguez Imbert Garrett. Yusef Hani Abid. Danielle Renee Aden, Roy H. Yarelli Memorial Prize, Dean's Honor List. Ahmed Hussein El Baghdadi, Distinction. Carl Elhan. Christiane Mary Farah, Charles Michael Morrison Gold Medal for Exceptional Engineering Promise, Class of 51 Structural Engineering Prize, Governor General's Silver Medal, McGill Alumni Society Prize, Dean's Honor List. Michael Pastini, Distinction. David Gerald Fernandez. Arnold Friedhandler, Distinction. Gerho Fuertes. Danielle Herskovich, Dean's Honor List. Stephanie Gabriela Hidalgo Salgado. Tristan Hogan, Distinction. Rui Jiang. Aditya Kalyanasandaram, Distinction. Jonathan Avi Canfi. Jonathan Lemun Khalili. Y. Yai Christopher Ko. David Creef, Dean's Honor Roll. Vincent Lau. Gavin Patrick Lichtart. Teresa Marie Luby, Distinction. James Lucas. Jumama Usama Mahdi. Jason Martin. Michael James Matthews, Raymond Cox Memorial Prize in Civil Engineering. Owen Edward McGowey, Alan Crook Prize in Civil Engineering, Dean's Honor List. Ali Moavinanian, Dean's Honor List. Mohammed Omar Musafir. Michael O'Hayon. Horacio Passinato. Hisham Muhammad Radi Abdul Gawad. Julie Lynn Riley. Marco Antonio Rico Dirian. Gabriel Rutili. Rima Sawan. Nuri Mariel Schreier, Distinction. Hanif Zahir Sharif. Max Sigler, Dean's Honor List. Juan Felix Soto Rodriguez. Paul Gerald Santobank. Gillian Strauss, Distinction. Xing Su, Distinction. Lana Tayara. Bryce Harris Thomason, Distinction. Thomas Christopher Trapia. Lisa Marie Vint. Catherine Baird Warren. G. Zhu. Darren Archong Yi. Melanie Milan Yip Woon Sun. Vivian Yu. Alexander Francis Zahuyukyo. Dana Zheng. Madam Vice Chancellor for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Computer Engineering, Hassam Farid Al-Sati. Mark Atti, British Association Medal, Dean's Honor List. Julian Cassie, Distinction. Xingwei Qi.
Kevin Chin. Liu Chis. Samuel Yoshi Cormier Iljima, Distinction. Paul Claudio Cucciarunu. Yang Du. Jack Jiag Hawa. Philip Kalos. Ayman Kalodi. Stefanos Koskinas. Winston Lin, Distinction. Yara Muzanar, Dean's Honor List. Lana Muadi. Puneet Mohan Mulchandani. Ali Nassar. Mathieu Perrault, Distinction. Patrick Potier. Antoine Samaha. Bradley Andrew Thompson. Dennis Turkle. Madam Vice Chancellor for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Electrical Engineering Honors Program. Saad Ahmad, Distinction. Frida Seha Gomez, British Association Medal, Dr. Alfred S. Meloweni Memorial Prize, Dean's Honor List. Antoine Dargam, Distinction. Jules Thakuri, Dean's Honor List. Brendan Hugo Hamel Bissell, Dean's Honor List. Muhammad Samir Khan, Dean's Honor List. Alexander Ilo Nikoliadis, Distinction. Ahmed Rashid, Distinction. Josu Sanz Robinson, Dean's Honor List. Da Chen Zhu, Professor Gar Lam Yip Memorial Prize, Dean's Honor List. Mr. Chairman of the Board, for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Electrical Engineering, regular program, Talha Arbasi. Faris Bakit Alfaran. Mihai Barbalescu. Chris Bujakian. Sohaib Iwas Bokari. Hussam Wahid Bhut. Raymond Chan. Andrew Robert Charna. Max Chow. Ahmed Bilal Chadari. Zakaria Chayed, Dean's Honor List.
Dave Minhua Chu. Nanqing Chu. Thomas Koval, distinction. Andre Dagenet. Zaid Bashar Dahabra. Paul George Dumé. Samer Elhelu. Manar Elfasni. Ahmed El Said Mohammed Gad El Dusuki. Jules Farajala. Simon Fovell, British Association Medal, Dean's Honor List. Justin Frieden, distinction. Keegan Elton George. Zachary Benjamin Grosch. Gavin Chilao Guo. Joseph Philip Habra. Mohamed Hamel. Mohamed Mahdi Al Hassan. Walid Hindi Hussain. Fahd Imtiaz, distinction. Edward Georgian. Tanmay Juneha. Usman Khalid. Mohammed Hafiz Halija. Ranjit Singh Kela. Vijay Kilambi. Urania Kukolis. Shishir Kulahari. Philippe Larouche. Sung Min Lee. Ipsita Madan. Mohammed Mian. Ahsan Mirza. Taufik Mohammed. Francois Moise. Gregoire Morin. Ali Musavi Torbati. Shuvik Mukherjee. Hassan Nassar. Victor York Ng. Samir Utagu. Alexandre Perrault, distinction. Amit Rama. Mohammed Yasser Raja. Sergio Alain Rovan Mejia. Omar Ryan Sade. Adam Santorelli, distinction. Vani Setijoso. Daniel Alexander Smith. Logan Falconer Smith. Michael Sokolniki, Dean's Honor List. Olivier Saint-Martin Cormier. Tao Tao. Malik Walid Tariq. Nabil Fayek Trabulsi. William Tran. Mark Travers. David Tse. Arash Vakili, Dean's Honor List. Saimai Jimmy Wong. Jin Y. James Charles Wheeler. Bota Y. Sima Zareen. Chen Zhang. Weibin Cheng. Michael Richard Zurowski. Mr. Chairman of the Board, for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Materials Engineering, Co-op Program, Maxime LaRouche Bell. Melissa Anna Kondikuji. Petar Dimitrov Dryanov. Raphael Gervais, distinction. Jason Donald Green. Sebastian Humphrey, distinction, British Association Medal. Ying Ting Lung. Juan Felipe Orana Santamán. Jennifer Rachel Radman. James Michael Shockley, distinction. Aaron Adel Taba, distinction, Burke's Silver Medal. Yanding Tan. Mr. Chairman, for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Mechanical Engineering, Honors Program. Christopher Richard Jackson, distinction. Robert Norris. Pavel Oprichko. Tyler Gerald Rene Reed, British Association Medal, David E. and Ronnie Shula Memorial Prize, Professor Jewel W. Stakiewicz Memorial Prize, Dean's Honor List. Mr. Chairman of the Board for the degree Bachelor of Engineering and Mechanical Engineering Regular Program, Abhishek Agarwal. Usni Nado Alkuzai. Ramzi Alawi. Ahmed Hisham Alrabi. Harut Sevag Ananian. Mazdak Amude Ardalan, Dean's Honor List. Simon Belmar. Miriam Esther Bisson. Eric Boulian. Nicholas Pierre Boubonnier. Baba Buyakdan. Samantha Lynn Brown. Anna Bulcho. Maxime Cervalos. Rennie Alexander Chacon. Timothy Chuchun Chan. Zhao Chen. Richard Joshua Cohen. Etienne Coutu. Hussein Daou. Michael Anthony Del Elche. Adam William Depp. Mathieu Desjardins. Danielle Francis DeLillo. Andrew Dabrowski, British Association Medal, Dean's Honor List. Sean Arunta, Dean's Honor List. Cesar Fuentes Ortega. Justin Charles Dahl. Jerry Galizioli. David Goldbaum. Colin James Goyette. Kieran John Griffiths, Harry Pierce Prize, Dean's Honor List. Thomas Adam English Hodge. Shermag Hung, Distinction. Eric Janot. Samuel Craig Johnson. Francis Olivier Joncas. Alexandra Karam, Distinction. William Robert Brian Kearley, Distinction. Thomas Manuel Kirk. Mer Krikorian. Etienne Lafleur, Dean's Honor List. Hin Yu Hin Lee, Distinction. Mark Antoine Lalemand. Nicholas Ken Lee. Charles Lesperance, Dean's Honor List. Nicholas Lotios Gilidwa. Bobby Lumia. Hunter Banford McDonald. Wing Yan Edith Mock. Eric McDonald. James Ingo Mebesek, Harry Pierce Prize, Dean's Honor List. Samarth Modwal, Dean's Honor List. Tarek Melam Mujais. Vitendra Nath Varma, Distinction. James Thomas O'Donnell. Jonathan Eric Pariser. Jaykumar Patel. Nicholas Pereira. Philippe Picciottino. Marco Olivier Piccarelli, Distinction. Jonathan Piot. Alexandra Poulin. Michael Michi. Spencer Michael Roberge. Jonathan Roberts. Vance Hansel Saldana, Distinction. Rafik Sarkisian. Derek Saucier Robertson, Distinction. Svilinov Saville, Ernest Brown Gold Medal for Highest Ability Throughout the Undergraduate Program, Dean's Honor List. Jessica Su. Wasim Shiri. Danielle Giuseppe Simeoni. Michael Simla, Distinction, Harry Pierce Prize. Dina Ibrahim Sliman. Seda Helnaz Sutude. Gabrielle Saint-Laurent, Dean's Honor List. Catherine Standish. David Matthew Svichenko, Distinction. Mardig Ohanis Telslakian. Luigi Tavernese. Rare Torikian. Edward Alexandra Trudeau, Distinction, Harry Pierce Prize. Diego Fernando Vacker. Martin Jan Vera. Joseph Verdino, distinction. Philippe Alexandre Verreau. Jacob Allen Ward. Jacob Daniel Webb. Catherine Zirbel. Mr. Chairman of the Board, for the degree Bachelor of Engineering in Mining Engineering, Co-op Program. Samuel Cayuet. Amanda Fitch. Adam Foley. Pierre McMullen, distinction. Andrew Pion. Anna Maria Romatowska, distinction. Vanessa Carla Smith. Mr. Chancellor, for the degree Bachelor of Science in Architecture, Claudia Paolo Barra di Vincenzo, distinction. Anas Benachmi. Jean Caille de Rosier. Gillian Wenjin Chang, distinction. Xiao Vivian Chen, distinction. William Wilford Truman Shaver Prize. Andrea Lynn De Benedetti. Emily Keiko Dubniak, distinction. McGill Alumni Society Prize. Wilford Truman Shaver Scholarship. Turki Hashem Gazaz. Emma Greer, distinction. Alexandra Amel. Jiwan Jun. Clarence Junho Lam. Sophie Loyo, distinction. Valerie Else Lachene. Beaulieu, distinction. Wilfred Truman Shaver Scholarship. Brittany Marshall. Catherine Messina, distinction. Derek Drummond Award in Architecture. Nazanin Naini. B. Yuen Ngo. Anne-Marie Nguyen. Distinction. Justin Nguyen. Distinction. Mong Tuan Nguyen. Scott Alexander Norsworthy. Distinction. Wilfred Truman Shaver Scholarship. Ali Nuri Nikoi. Northwest Monolith. Nicole Rexeagle. Stefania Rosalia Sciascia. Catherine St. Pierre. Elliot Sturtevant, Carl Fisher Scholarship, Wilfred Truman Shaver Scholarship, Dean's Honor List. Don Toromanoff, Wilfred Truman Shaver Scholarship. Sarah Chu. Christina Venditelli. Qiying Wang. Lauren April Woolley. Mr. Chancellor, for the degree Bachelor of Software Engineering, Ivan Aslemov, Distinction. Scott Jarrett Assen. Alexander Becker. Jan Boulanger. Hussein Danish. Ryan Sean Fishman. Semyon Galkov. Amy Pamela Weiss Goldenberg. Michael Stephen Kirk. Jiang Li. Rohina Nejat. Hatice Kubra Ozgubin. Jacob Yaji Sawa. Alexandra Joseph Senegal. Philip William Servant. Hussein Slimani. Boris Petrov Varbanov. Thomas Jeffrey Wallace.
Me?
Yeah.
Thank you, Professor Emeritus Dealey. Now, would the graduating class please rise? I'm not through yet. In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges and responsibility that are pertinent thereto. Congratulations. I want to invite the graduates, their families, and friends to the terrace, because of the rain, inside the Leacock building for refreshments. And now, je demande au secrétaire général, Monsieur Stephen Stopel, de lire la bénédiction.
Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. We come from and return to many lands. In humility and hope, may we continue in friendship and grow in solidarity and wisdom. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. awesome. Such a, like, it's not done. Oh, man. You know, totally, like, good.
It is. It's smooth. Schmutzen. Schmutzen, glaube ich. Schmutzen, glaube ich.